Darcy was wreaking similar mayhem on his targets. Lorry spun round on one foot, left leg kicking out again, back arching supply, and her boot's toe-cap caught a man just below and behind his ear, splitting his skull. Hands gripped at her arms from behind. Lorry yelped in shock. Nobody should be there. But reflexes took over, a fast back-kick, which connected with a thigh, and she completed the turn with her arms locking into a defensive posture, in time to see the woman staggering back. She blinked in incomprehension. The woman had blood pouring out of her mouth. Her throat was severely disfigured from the first blow. As she watched, the skin inflated out, Adam's apple reappearing, the gush of blood stopped. Sweet shit! What does it take to stop them? The two men Darcy had knocked over were regaining their feet. One had a shattered shin bone, its jagged edge protruding from the flesh just below his knee. He stood on it and walked forwards. "Electrodes," Darcy ordered. The first of the men was reaching for him. The side of his face caved in where Darcy's boot had impacted, eyeball mashed in its socket, shedding tears of syrupy yellow fluid, but still smiling. He deliberately stepped inside the groping embrace, bringing his hands up, fingers wide, and clamping his palms on either side of the man's head. The long cords of eel-derived electroplaque cells buried in his forearms discharged through organic conductors that emerged from his fingertips in the form of tiny warts. The man's head was crowned with a blinding flare of purple-white static, accompanied by a gunshot crack, as the full 2,000-volt charge slammed into his brain. A vicious tingling erupted across Darcy's hands as some of the current leaked through the subcutaneous insulation. But the effect on the man was like nothing Darcy had ever seen before. The discharge should have felled him instantly. Nothing living could withstand that much electricity. Instead, he lurched backwards, clutching at his mangled head, emitting a soprano keening. His skin began to glow, shining brighter and brighter. The shirt and jeans flamed briefly, falling away from the incandescent body as blackened petals. Darcy shielded his eyes with his hand. There was no heat, he realized. With a light so bright, he ought to feel a scorch wave breaking across his chameleon suit. The man had become translucent now, so powerful was the surge of photons, revealing bones and veins and organs as deep scarlet and purple shadows. Their solidity dissolved, as if they were different colored gases caught in a hurricane. He managed one last wretched wail as his body gave a massive epileptic spasm. The light snuffed out, and the man fell flat on his face. The other four assailants began to howl. Lorry had heard a dog lamenting the death of its master once. Their voices had that same bitter, resentful grieving. She realized some of her hardware units were coming back online. The disruption effect was abating. Her chameleon suit circuitry sent psychedelic scarlet and green fireworks zipping over the fabric. "Kelvin!" she shouted desperately. Alone in his darkened office 1,000 kilometers away, Kelvin Solanke jerked to attention behind his desk as her static, jarred voice crashed into his neural mnemonics. "Kelvin, he was right. Latin was right. There is some kind of energy field involved. It interfaces with matter somehow, controls it. You can beat it with electricity. Sometimes... Hell, she's getting up again!" Darcy's voice broke in. "Run, now!" "Don't let them gang up on you, Kelvin. They're powerful when they group together. It's got to be Xenox." "Shit, the whole village is swarming after us," Darcy called. Static roared along the satellite link like a rogue binary blitzkrieg, making Kelvin wince. "Kelvin, you must quarantine..." Lorry never finished, her signal drowning below the deluge of rampaging whines and hisses. Then the racket ended. "Transponder signal discontinued," the computer printed neatly on Kelvin's desk screen.
"I told you we shouldn't have come up here, didn't I?" Gail Buchanan said. "Plain as day, I said no. I said you can't trust Edenists. But you wouldn't listen. Oh, no. They just waved their fancy credit disc in front of your eyes, and you rolled over like a wet puppy. It's worse than when she was on board.